Raf Epstein on ABC Radio Melbourne.
The number one issue if you're an employer tomorrow is if you've got authorised workers, so essentially anyone who really can leave the house at the moment because the lockdown hasn't lifted, they'll need to either have a jab or a booking for a jab. So where does that leave you if you're the boss? Where does it leave you if you don't want to get it? Natalie Gasper is a partner at Herbert Smith Freehills. Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
Raf, thank you for having me on.
Legally, what does it mean, the requirement for me to have a jab or a booking? What does that mean I have to do?
So what the Victorian Public Health Directions do is actually impose an obligation on employers. There's not actually a positive obligation on employees to go off and get a vaccination or receive a booking. So from a legal framework, all the liability is imposed on employers. And in fact, what the public health directions require is that an employer prevent an unvaccinated employee from working away from home. And as you say, there's a broad list of authorised workers to whom that applies.
So what does prevent mean? Does that mean send me home, sack me, put me on leave? What does prevent mean?
So the sort of workers that we're talking about are people who do, in fact, perform their work outside of the home. To the extent that any of that work can be performed inside the home, the direction would be that you will require the employee to work in that manner. If they can't, so for example, they're a click and collect retail worker, they're a manufacturing employee, what it means is that they're not actually permitted to turn up to work. Now, that doesn't mean that you automatically need to sack them. In fact, the opposite. What typically is happening is that employees are being furloughed. So they can either access their annual leave, any long service leave entitlements that they have, or they're stood down without pay.
So I can, the boss can say to the worker, don't come back until A, you get vaxxed, or B, the mandate's gone. You can say that to your workers.
Not only can you say that, you have to say that.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You cannot let them come on site unless they've either received their first vaccination or they've got a booking to receive their first vaccination by next Friday.
And do I have to, I'm just trying to think about people who, like you mentioned, click and collect retail. Is there a legal obligation, if I'm the boss of the small shop, do I have to try and find a way for that worker to do some work from home? Is there an obligation on the employer to do that?
Yeah, there is. So if work can be performed from home, that work must be performed for home. But the way these public health directions work with respect to the mandatory vaccinations, in reality, it is really only applying to those people who can't perform their work elsewhere. So using your example, of course, a click and collect worker can't reasonably perform those duties from home.
So in what circumstance would it be reasonable for the boss to say to the worker, sorry, job's over, I'm sacking you? In what circumstance is that okay?
Yeah, look, we're not there yet probably, Raf.
Right.
There's a few reasons for that. So one is that these public health directions actually expire next Thursday, pretty much this time next week. If we were having the conversation, it would be different. So because it is an interim measure, we of course expect that the Victorian government will extend these directions, but it is temporary. If a person does have their leave entitlements, they might reasonably, in fact, if you're in an unfair dismissal proceeding, a dismissal in those circumstances would likely be found to be unfair if a person has got leave up their sleeve that they can utilise.
So I've got to let them have the paid leave if they've got leave.
From an unfair dismissal perspective, that effectively is how it pans out. And of course, there might be a whole range of reasons why people can't comply with these vaccination directions. So there are some exemptions which are built into the directions for employees who cannot receive a vaccine. And they need to certify that that's the case. So if they've got a medical contraindication or are suffering from an acute illness. So there might be a range of reasons why as I said, people haven't received the vaccine. That's one of them. We've got people who are vaccine hesitant who might get there, and this indeed might be the nudge that they need to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then we've got anti-vaxxers who in no circumstances will receive the vaccine. So it's a little bit horses for courses with respect to those different groups of people.
Natalie, is any of this different? So many people don't have a permanent relationship with their employer. They're a contractor or a subcontractor, or they have essentially an ad hoc relationship. Does that change any of the legal stuff you've been talking about?
Yeah, it does, Raf. So these directions just apply to employers vis-a-vis their employees. So to the extent that there are contractors, the obligation applies to those people of themselves. What we're seeing is that, understandably, people who control a site will say, well, I've got a legal obligation to make sure my guys and gals have got the jab. So anyone else who comes on site, I need to adopt the same, right. You know, the same mentality. So they will require their contractors to provide assurances that they themselves have complied with these mandatory directions.
So if you're a cleaner, a tiler, a consultant coming to the site, but you don't want to get vaxxed, whoever you've got that contract with can tell you, no, you can't come because you're not vaxxed.
Yeah, they've got that ability to do that, and that's what we're seeing play out.
What do you think people don't know that they might need to know? Or which part of this surprises people, do you think?
Well, do you know what? We did receive these directions relatively late in the piece. The Premier made his announcement some time ago, but we actually didn't get the detail, and this is a classic lawyer phrase, but the devil is often in the detail. The first step is to check who this actually applies to, because it is slightly different to that authorised worker permit system that you were talking about earlier. So that's the first step there. The second thing, as I said, is this is an obligation with respect to employers at risk of penalty. You know, fines are in excess of $100,000 for failure to comply with these contraventions. There's talk, and it's starting to come out about, you know, how do you manage an employee if they don't provide the vaccination information that I need by tomorrow? So the answer to that is these directions require you to treat those people as unvaccinated,
right,
and therefore they're not permitted to enter the site until they can provide that vaccination proof.
Natalie, if I can just run through two text questions, so real-world examples. You may not be able to give a definitive answer, but the first one from Helen in Healesville. As an employer, what right or obligation do I have to actually see proof of the vaccine or the booking?
Yep. So again, what these directions require is not a right, it's actually mandated. So the other thing these directions does is require employers to collect and hold information relating to a person's vaccination status and or their exemption and or their booking
information. So the boss has a legal obligation to look at that proper document.
They do,
right. Yeah. And another question from Jane in Kilsyth. There's a supervisor at a factory where I work who refuses to get vaxxed. The owner of the factory cannot do without her because she runs 50% of the cash flow. She refused to wear a mask and no one says anything. What can be done?
Well, I'm hoping that's and trusting that's not a client of mine who's giving that example. So, look, the way these work is that the obligations apply to employers. It's under risk of penalty. These are matters that, you know, the police regulate. I think there's a real question as to how they go about doing that.
Right.
But, you know, it's a good question that's raised. It goes to enforceability. And I really feel for small and medium-sized businesses, navigating all these competing issues. Like never in my legal career have I seen an intersection of really complex ideas. You know, state public health orders, you've got work health and safety obligations, there's privacy considerations, there's discrimination considerations, and it's all moving so quickly. So, it's really challenging. I appreciate that.
I appreciate your time, Natalie. Thank you.
Thanks, Raf, for having me.
Raf Epstein.